From NPR, it's Latino USA.
We have to wait and see what happens. If the law is implemented and the witch hunt begins, we'll have to run.
I'm not heartless. I just don't want to be hurt. I'm tired of being hurt. I'm tired of paying taxes.
On today's program, voices from the front lines for and against the new immigration law set to take effect in Arizona. And the venerated Virgen de Guadalupe and her controversial mugshot signed by the so-called president of Arizona, who wants the Mexican icon arrested.
It's like literally a wanted sign, and you see wanted in bold letters, and then underneath it says terrorist. Then it says La Virgen de Guadalupe. And beneath that, you see two images like mugshots.
That's all coming up on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Quédense con nosotros.
I'm Katie Davis with some thoughts on the news of the week. Numbers. That was driving many of the stories that unfolded. Numbers. 39%. That's the percentage of South African women who did not contract AIDS when they used an experimental gel for protection during sex. 1,300. 1,300 names were made public to identify them as undocumented immigrants in Utah. And then, almost as a balance, 24 young people stood up and outed themselves as undocumented immigrants, and they were arrested. Those are the numbers, and now the stories. The Washington Post shouted the AIDS news in a big headline, "Gel found to reduce AIDS risk in women." Women in South Africa tried an experimental vaginal gel, and the initial results are promising. The rate of HIV infection was cut by 39%. More experiments are needed, and it will be years before this protective gel would be widely available. Still,
I think it's huge news. It's really huge news.
Natalia Ramirez-Lee is with the Latino Commission on AIDS in New York City. She says here in the United States, Latina women are 5 times more likely to be impacted by AIDS than white women.
There have been studies going on microbicides for a long time, but none have really produced any positive results. And really for a while, they've kind of been placed on the back burner in terms of HIV research. And so now that we're having positive results, I hope that it will increase the amount of research that's done around this. And I think it's huge because it really gives women more options, and it's a method of prevention that would be initiated and controlled by women.
Those who work in AIDS prevention read the stories carefully. For years, the only thing they have had to offer women is a female condom, never a big hit. And getting men to wear condoms is not always easy either. Again, Natalia Ramirez-Lee.
Many women, we find ourselves in unequal relationships where we don't really have the power to negotiate condom use. And so that's very difficult. And I work a lot with, for example, married women and women who have been in quote-unquote monogamous relationships for a long time. And for those women who maybe have never used condoms with their partner, to then ask them to tell their partner that they should be using condoms can be a bit tricky. And then when you add on to that many women who are in domestic violence situations, there's a fear that their partner could even possibly get violent. So, I mean, women have options. They had options before in terms of HIV prevention with the female condom. There was a female condom developed that's made of polyurethane, which is a very strong material, and now there's a second female condom, which is supposed to be even better. But many women don't even know about the existence of these options.
And now a disturbing number, a number on a list. This list was used as a weapon in Utah. A 29-page document with the names of 1,300 people accused of being in the state and the country illegally. 2 Utah State employees are accused of creating that list, and they are currently on administrative leave. Officials are trying to determine exactly how birth dates, social security numbers, home addresses, and pregnancy due dates were gathered and then widely distributed. And then there are those who stand up and say loudly that they are here in this country illegally. Most young people are brought up to keep their immigration status secret to sidestep questions. This week, though, they wore silky graduation gowns and caps and sat in a circle in the Hart Senate office building in Washington, D.C. They were told to leave by the police, but they did not move and were arrested. More than 24 undocumented students were detained for disorderly conduct. They will be processed, and it's possible that they will be turned over to the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency and deported. Most of these students were educated in U.S. schools, and they learned the lessons our country hopes to teach. The power of protest, the reasoning of Thomas Jefferson, Sojourner Truth, the marches for civil rights. And perhaps they read the writer James Baldwin in Notes of a Native Son. He wrote, "I love America more than any other country in the world, and exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually." That's it for now. You can stay connected to LatinoUSA.org throughout the week, or you can follow us on Twitter for news updates on your mobile devices. We are LatinoUSA, all one word. I'm Katie Davis in Washington, D.C.
It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. The voices of Arizona have been hard to miss over the past several months. Some want more enforcement of the border. Some want an opportunity. Much of the debate sparked by legislation passed this spring in Arizona that makes it a state felony to be there without papers. It will go into effect on July 29th unless a judge stops it. We turn now to our colleague, Valeria Fernandez, who lives in Phoenix. She's been spending time with two people who are living this moment in history.
Irene Littleton loves the cactus in her yard in the small town of Casa Grande. She fusses over the prickly pear, but that's it. The rest of her yard is practical.
It's AstroTurf. It's fake grass in Arizona. I'm not going to be cutting grass or using a lot of water.
Irene's house is close to Nordstrom's department store. That was a big selling point when she and her husband bought it 2 years ago. Her street is quiet, but her home was broken into last August, and her husband's watch and the TV were stolen. Irene installed a security system and may put bars on the windows. Then in April, a county deputy was shot and wounded nearby, possibly by drug smugglers. And now she's upset the federal government plans to put up signs in her town warning about smuggling.
What's going to happen to the value of our homes? They've already gone down quite a bit. Are they going to go down more now because we are a designated dangerous area?
The only thing that makes Irene feel safe these days is the strict new immigration law. She says she's relieved that somebody finally did something, and Irene has a lot to say about it.
You know that the drug lords and the cartel, they are really physically dangerous people, okay? And the landscaper, we look at him as harmless. I don't think he's harmless. He's costing me money. I'm paying for him to be here, or her, to be here. For school, if they have children in school, their medical expenses. Where's that coming from? But from everybody's pocketbook in Arizona. And, you know, there's a major recession. We don't have any money. And we're having a hard time taking care of the citizens of the United States.
I meet Arizona residents like Irene all the time. They go to tea party events, they meet and vote. Some seem angry and frantic. But when you sit down with them, it's clear that they are worried and want a solution from the federal government. When I spend time speaking with undocumented immigrants, they seem hurt by this whole debate. They say they are called criminals too often. They understand they broke the law by entering this country, but feel all their hard work should count for something. They say they are part of this country, papers or not. Early morning, Gerardo, a Mexican who came across the border 11 years ago, breaks apart three gigantic air conditioners in the Arizona sun.
¿Podemos venderse por separado? Para sacar más dinero.
¿Cuánto te pueden dar por esto?
No, pues no tengo ni idea. Unos $100, $200.
Gerardo says he can sell the pieces and make some money. These days he is desperate for work. The landscaping jobs have dried up because people, including immigrants like himself, are holding on to their money. And Gerardo is fearful about what the new law might bring for his family. One child was born in the U.S. and another in Mexico. A few weeks ago, he was packed to leave to Canada. He was ready to go when his children convinced him to wait for a while.
Hay que ver qué pasa. Si se implementa la ley y empieza la cacería de brujas, como se dice.
We have to wait and see what happens. If the law is implemented and the witch hunt begins, we'll have to run, probably to another state, because we won't be returning to Mexico. It's really difficult to leave Arizona right now. You can't leave anymore. Let's say if you were to go to Los Angeles, you'd have to go through an immigration checkpoint. We have some friends that left. They were going to Canada, and we haven't heard from them at all.
No sabemos si los detuvieron, no sabemos si ya pasaron, si ya, porque ellos iban a ir a Canadá. No sabemos dónde están.
Gerardo not only fears an arrest, he doesn't like the way people treat him and his family these days. He wants his children to grow up in a place where they are not singled out because of the color of their skin or their accent.
La gente está apoyando la ley SB 1070 porque no saben exactamente el...
There's a lot of people that are supporting the new law SB 1070, but they're doing so because they don't know where the immigrant fits in this country. They watch racist news stations, and they'll show a house and they'll say, how many immigrants could be living there? How many are coyotes? How many people are being held or hurt? But they're not presented with the other side of the coin. Why don't they show a construction site where a roof is being put together and there's five immigrants breaking their backs in the sun?
Donde hay cinco inmigrantes partiéndose el lomo abajo del sol. La gente dice, ¿por qué no se ponen en línea? Sí, si nos da la...
A lot of people say, why don't these immigrants get in the line and come in the right way? Well, yeah, if we had the opportunity, we would do that. Right now, I have an application being processed with immigration, and we've been waiting for a response. But the process takes a long time. You have to wait for 15 or 20 years to go through the whole process.
In the days before this new law goes into effect or does not go into effect, the divide between Arizona residents continues. There are points of convergence, but that can be hard to hear when so few people find a way to talk directly and listen to one another. For Latino USA, this is Valeria Fernandez, Phoenix, Arizona.
Valeria Fernandez is a reporter with Feet in Two Worlds, a project that brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio. Well, we're actually not done with Irene and Gerardo. We think it might be interesting to rewrite their stories, almost the way a writer might do it. So we've asked artist Lalo Alcaraz to help us do this. You might know him from his comic strip, La Cucaracha, where he is constantly reinventing the world. Welcome to Latino USA, Lalo.
Hi, Maria. How you doing?
I'm okay. Okay, so if you were going to write a cartoon based on the characters of Irene, who is fearful of the guy who's basically mowing the lawn, and Gerardo, who is fearful, literally, of moving anywhere. It's almost like he's completely stuck. What would you do?
I think that Americans are in this position where they don't want to admit that they are dependent on immigrant labor, and to slam these two characters together, I would make her the landlady. I've had crazy old landladies before, believe me, and make him her best tenant, who cleans up around. Is Schneider from One Day at a Time? He's the handyman, and just show how outside of major corporations we are all interdependent down here, los de abajo, you know.
Irene is saying, look, she believes that many of these immigrants who have not broken laws once they've been here should be given a path to legalize their status. So would you in your cartoon make it, I don't know, turn into some kind of a love story maybe?
Well, there's a lot of handsome Mexican handymen. It's not completely outrageous.
And, their names are Schneiders?
Their names are Panchito Schneider, you know. So I think maybe if he's going to put up with the crazy landlady, maybe she's irresistible. Maybe they're irresistible to each other, and they'll fall in love. And you know, if she really thinks he's that scary, mowing the lawn, man, he must be one tough, good-looking guy.
Pancho Snyder.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to switch gears now and talk a little bit about the work that you yourself, as an artist and a cartoonist, have done around the Arizona law, Senate Bill 1070, SB 1070. You've produced many, many images, and you've, in fact, distributed those images online, encouraging people to use them as their profile images on Facebook or to print them and use them for signs at protests. Do you think that art nowadays has a greater impact because of the fact that you're able to have access to this electronic connectivity?
Yeah, I mean, this whole SB 1070 era of Arizona unfortunately reminds me of the first time I think that my work was really, really got widespread, which was back in 1994 during Prop 187 here in California, which was anti-immigrant proposition. And back then, we didn't really have too much of the internet. I mean, there was some email, but back then, people would take my cartoons and just Xerox them, blow them up. And yeah, the internet has been really great, you know, and as far as getting people, you know, to open up their consciousness and to send out my messages, especially Facebook has been wild for that.
So describe one of your most popular pieces, and where is the craziest place that you have seen it turn up in?
There's one piece I did early on with the map of all the states in the Southwest and Mexico, but all the states are all labeled, and there's a state outlined in red and colored in red, and you know, you see the states above: Utah and Colorado, California, Texas, and then Nevada, and then you see this state, and it says police on it, and it's where Arizona should be. And that piece has really just gone viral, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's lots of people still using it as their profile pics, and people have marched with it. There's funny places where I think this piece showed up. One was a photo online of protesters holding the posters, including a lady that came through Facebook to my house. She came out of the internet and hopped on my lawn and picked up a stack of posters to take. Photo of her and her friends holding the posters up. And this photo was taken by a white supremacist who was against the SB 1070 and was documenting all the evil communist marchers, you know. And it was the best photo I have of evidence of my poster in that big Phoenix march maybe 2 months ago.
Well, thanks for joining us to talk about art and politics, Lalo.
Thank you very much.
Lalo Alcaraz is the creator of the comic strip La Cucaracha, which is nationally syndicated, and he's the voice on the mic at the Pocho Hour of Power on KPFK in Los Angeles. We have links to both on our website at latinousa.org. In a minute, música, arte, and mugshots, artistic interventions in our political discourse. That's coming up. No se vayan. You're listening to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Throughout my years as a reporter, one thing I've heard from so many people is that politics is boring. They say, I just don't feel that my voice counts. But the reality is that in one way or another, we all contribute to the political discourse. Sure, some of it is the speech of politicians and pundits and protesters. Sometimes it could be a song or a photograph, a piece of art that can impact the debate with just as much power. And that's how I felt when I saw the recent work of visual artist Esther Hernandez. Esther used a simple image, one that resonates deeply with the Latino community, La Virgen de Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Mexico's patron saint.
When you look at it, it's like literally a wanted sign, and you see wanted in bold letters, and then underneath it says terrorist. Beneath that, you see two images, like mugshots, one a side profile of the Virgen de Guadalupe, another, the one next to it, frontal of the Virgen. Criminal record. For over 160 years, La Virgen de Guadalupe has accompanied countless men, women, and children illegally into the USA. Reward. The state of Arizona offering up to $500,000 for any information leading directly to the apprehension and conviction of La Virgen de Guadalupe. Signed by Janet Killamall, President of Arizona.
One look, and it instantly conveys the sentiments of so many people in the Latino community, but not everyone. So, Esther, what did you want? How did you conceive of this, and what was the message that you wanted to communicate, and why now?
I spent a lot of time really feeling very horribly, like almost isolated and just sort of really sad and all of that. And it wasn't until I went to a big immigrant march and rally here in San Francisco that I just saw so many people, especially the immigrant community, just singing and marching and signs, and their spirits were up. And one of the things that I did see that was really present was the image of the Virgen de Guadalupe. So that just kind of reminded me of how her image has always been used in so many different ways and in so many different battles throughout the years, from the farm workers to the Mexican Revolution to now. So that's kind of why I just decided to make this wanted image of her, kind of just throwing the net out to the extreme of who we are as a people. So in some ways, it's kind of trying to represent the spirit of the community, something that you really can't capture, because that's how I felt at that event, that all of these things are happening to us, but we still have our humor, we still have our community, we still have song and dance, and that's something that you can't capture.
Are you thinking about how some people might look at this, and they won't find it comical at all, they'll be offended, because they'll say, you know what, again, we're just saying we believe that laws should be enacted. That's all we're saying as citizens, is enact the laws, the federal laws and now state laws. And we feel offended that you would take it to this place. What do you say to them?
First of all, I'm glad that they even will stop and talk to me. So I'm more than open to talking to people about why I created these images. I think whatever it takes to make people talk about it, I think the scary part is when people don't have any feelings and they're just numb and they're like paralyzed. So I think anything that we can do just to sort of shake it up and make people think, and even if they're angry or whatever, but that they talk about it. I think that is really what it's about at this point.
Esther, thanks so much for your art and for speaking with us on Latino USA.
I thank you so much, too.
Esther Hernandez is a visual artist based in San Francisco. To see the wanted poster and more of Esther Hernandez's work, go to our website at latinousa.org. And finally this week, algo un poco más personal, some personal thoughts on art and summer. And nothing says summer the way this song says summer. I had forgotten about this song, Suavecito, by the Chicano rock group Malo. Oh man, it just takes me back to those hot summers in the 1970s in Chicago. But this summer has been a summer of malaise, hasn't it? Not like those carefree summers in the 1970s. This has been a summer of irresponsibility. every day turning on the TV to see that bile spewing into our Mother Ocean, and then hearing scientists saying, "Don't worry, it won't be there forever." And when BP finally capped the spill, all they can say, and here we guess they're telling us the truth, is that it's not a permanent fix. Which is why summer music can be so good. As we move through this blackened season and watch the birds and fish die, and we see the state of Arizona in turmoil and the unending wars overseas, there is another song that for some is their anthem of hope in 2010, the song Bad Romance by Lady Gaga. Honestly, Lady Gaga was not on my musical radar until Mimi, my Vietnamese gym partner, told me how much she loves her. Mimi and I are working out every hot day of this summer, doing kickboxing. Mimi owns a nail salon in Harlem. We don't talk a lot, though sometimes we do. Which is why I asked her one day, "Mimi, why do you like Lady Gaga so much?" After a set of sweating kicks, Mimi says to me, "I like Lady Gaga because she is free. And because I work 7 days a week, and sometimes I feel like I go crazy. Lady Gaga's music makes me forget all that. Makes me forget I work so hard. And when I get angry in my store, I just turn the music up loud so that no one can talk. Lady Gaga's music makes it all go away. And then, after 5 minutes, I just put down the volume and go back to work. Summer music, indeed. Art, music, writing. They can save us from the malaise like Lady Gaga saves Mimi. So what song or dance or piece of art is saving you? Send us your thoughts to lusa@npr.org or call us at 1-800-535-5533. And for this week, that's Latino USA. The program comes to you from the Futuro Media Group, online at futuromediagroup.org, and is produced in cooperation with KUT Austin. Our report from Feet in Two Worlds is a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. You can stay connected to Latino USA throughout the week at latinousa.org. Or for news, follow us on Twitter. We are Latino USA. All one word. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from Ann and John Herman, supporting the Breakthrough Collaborative, involving middle school students in learning and older students in teaching at breakthroughcollaborative.org. And Lumber Liquidators, whose flooring includes pre-finished and stained solid hardwoods, bamboo, cork, and laminates. Information at lumberliquidators.com. And from LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. This is NPR.